You're listening to the Reinvest Podcast, where each Tuesday we will show you how to reclaim, reconnect, and refocus your life by bringing you the top real estate professionals in the industry. We'll pull back the curtain so you can implement these tools and tactics to build generational wealth. Your hosts, Garrett Gatton and Seth Simonillo.
All right, welcome back for another episode of the Reinvest Podcast. We are here on episode 62, and we got a great episode today. We have a great guest today. We have a Reinvest Podcast veteran. He was on episode 3 of the Reinvest Podcast talking about syndication. So if you you should go back and listen to that first and then jump ahead a year and a half to now.
That's right.
We're here with Lee Yoder. Lee, how you doing?
I'm doing great, guys. Excited to be on again.
You're our first two-time guest.
Oh, no, wow.
Sorry, Stephen Speck.
Oh, man.
He lied to you.
I'm okay with being second to him. I'm in a group with him now.
Yeah, it's the you know, President's Club. You founded the podcast.
There we go.
So, pro tip for all you listeners out there, use the end of the year as a time to look back, audit the present, and plan for the future. So every year our team gets together at the end of the year, and we gather, you know, kind of our data for the year, our sales for the year, our plans for the year. We kind of look back. What did we accomplish? Did we hit our goals? And we kind of use some of that information to help plan for this coming 2024.
Yep.
So, yeah, that's been super helpful, honestly. And the data is, I think, a key thing because you're going to talk about some very, you know, subjective kind of circumstantial stuff that happened in the last year, but you want to see the numbers, right? So for the real estate agent side of things, we get to look at who are our biggest clients. On the investment side of things, we get to see, okay, what acquisitions did we do? What kind of income did we create in some of our properties and assets? Are we doing as well as we feel like we're doing? Or, you know, where are those problem areas that we need to spend time focusing on in the next year? So, and Lee, I'll just open it up to you, man. Do you guys do kind of any, what does your end of the year review process look like with your team?
Yeah, I was just taking some notes. That was good. So this will be new for us. So the threefold team used to be my wife and I. I did have a partner early on, but he was just kind of really just the operations side. So it was, the vision type stuff was just really my wife and I. And so we've been doing this for a few years now. And it's you know, in our personal life as well, where, you know, we talk a lot about our faith and our family and our kids and stuff like that. But we'll always do that at the beginning of the year, early in January. She sends the kids over to her parents, and we have like that night and the whole next day. And we'll go to dinner and we'll have a notepad with us and taking a bunch of notes, talking through a bunch of stuff. And then next day we'll go and spend like 5 hours at a coffee shop and just talk through stuff. And a big part of what we talk about is threefold, is our business, because she's very involved in the business with me. And she thinks very differently than I do. So, I have like tons of visions and tons of ambition for it, but like she slows me down and she's a lot wiser than I am. So it's really good to talk through all that stuff. So we've been doing that. And then we'll actually either after that or before that, kind of just depending on how it works out, we'll do a 5-day fast to pray through everything that we, you know, have talked about and kind of decided that like, this is what this, you know, we feel like God's calling us to this year. So we'll, you know, fast and pray through that and, you know, hopefully God's talking to us during that time. Right. So, we've been doing that and we'll, you know, we'll do that again this year. It's always really a rich time for us. Something I always look forward to. Threefold with the rest of our company. Now we have kind of two other team members now that really feel like a big part of the team and part of the group that needs to be in on these conversations. So we're going to have our normal monthly meeting in December, and we're close and it's family and friends. So they'll be coming to our house, bringing their kids, and we'll do a meeting at the end of December. But then our one that we do at January, I want to do something different where we've been renting out just this room at a coffee shop that's really close to where all of our kids go to school. So we do a hybrid homeschool program and they just go Tuesdays and Thursdays. So we have our monthly meeting on a Thursday, like 2 hours before we're all set to pick them up at school. And the coffee shop's right there. So we're going to in January, it'll be at the end of January. But I'm going to rent that out for like the whole day. And so we'll do like some meetings in the morning and then go to lunch together and then do some afternoon meetings and then go get our kids. So I was just taking some notes about, you know, kind of what you were saying there, Seth, and I'm still trying to gather ideas of like how we want to talk through that.
Yeah.
But I'm really excited for it. I love that part of it, getting together with the team and kind of what you said, like, okay, guys, what did we do in 2023 and what went well, what didn't go well. And then, okay, what's 2024 going to look like? So So it's new for us this year, but I'm excited to do something like that.
It's the difference between working in the business and working on the business.
Yeah.
And there's rhythms in your business cycle. Like, you know, for us, and we were talking kind of off camera before, normally this is kind of a slower time. And so there can be a natural rhythm to just work on your business. Mm-hmm. That's not the case for you, which we'll get into why you guys are so busy here in a little bit. But so it's been a year and a half since we've had you on the podcast. Episode 3. It's pretty crazy. You, Lee, you were one of the first kind of meaningful connections. There's probably people out there be like, was I not a meaningful connection? No, if you're listening to this, you're a meaningful connection. But you were the first one that, you know, we kind of rubbed shoulders with on an investment perspective that was...
That got us outside of our Lima box.
Yeah, it got us outside of our box. So it's been cool to watch your business grow and be a part of that. We had an opportunity to partner with Threefold here this last quarter on a deal together. And that was super informative for us on how you run your business and kind of peek behind the curtain. So it's been awesome to develop this relationship. One of the big things... well, I guess I'll put the ball in your court. So for our listeners, what's changed in Threefold in the last year and a half?
Catch us up.
Yeah, sure, man. I'm trying to think back. So a year and a half would have been like, you know, early in spring 2022, right?
Yep.
Is that?
Yep.
Okay. So we closed on a 95 unit in Cincinnati in May of 2022. That was our fourth apartment syndication. That put us at 88 units or something like that. Gosh, I have to do the math. I forgot that number. 283, I think, is the number in my mind. 283 units. We had all of those being managed by a third party manager. And actually, we started working with a new property manager that May, a year and a half ago, because they were on that 95 unit and the seller, great guy. And he's like, man, they're killing it. I just keep them on. So we're like, that sounds good. And we really like them. So we end up giving, by the end of the year, we gave all of our stuff. Actually that fall, we gave all of our stuff to them. So one property management company out of Cincinnati, it's one of the bigger ones. They're really well known. They're good. They were managing all 283 units, three properties in Dayton, one in Cincinnati. And so for the next year, a couple things. One, it got really difficult to purchase anything because if you remember, March of 2022 is when the Fed started raising interest rates and they got really aggressive all through 2022, right? So, I mean, we saw it with that May purchase. Our interest rate was increased by the bank we were working with a week before closing by half a percent.
Right?
And we were still, we went from 3.7 to 4.3. So 3.75 to 4.385 or something like that. So it's still great. Like, we're really happy with that interest rate.
Isn't that funny? Now we look at that and we're like, well, if we could get that kind of money. But it just shows you how aggressive they were. Because they blew past 4%. Now we're looking at loans in the 7-8% range.
Yes. Yeah, right. And just as an example, I'll never forget this number. Probably won't. I had to tell my investors about that because all the money was already committed. We were all ready. We're just, you know, a week from closing. And that half a percent was $22,000 a year in extra interest payments. So, you know, might as well light an extra $22,000 on fire as far as our company is concerned. Like, the bank said, hey, you thought you that was $22,000 of profit?
Yeah.
That's coming over to us. That's our profit, right? That's they're gonna make an extra percent. So that's what a half a percent meant. And like you just said, Garrett, like we're now, you know, and actually yields are falling now and the 10-year is falling, but we went all the way up, over 7%, up to like 7.5%, even 8%. Some guys were getting 8%. I'm talking about just going from 3.875 to 4.375. So, and that's $22,000 from there. So, you know, you go up another five times, like we're talking about over $100,000 in profit that deal would have now been given to the bank. I couldn't pay what I paid back then for that property,
right?
Because it wouldn't have had the cash flow, right? Because the bank is now taking so much of the cash flow. So that's just one example of why deals stopped working, because sellers weren't willing to drop their price enough for the cash flow to still make sense. And we really try to be cash flow buyers. So on the buying front, we went a whole 12 months and bought nothing from May of 2022 to May of 2023. Just could not make the numbers work with high prices and high interest rates and interest rates going higher and higher. And then, on the operations side, we moved everything over to that big property management company. That really went well. And then, you know, the more we got involved, the more we learned about property management companies. So I was getting more and more comfortable with property management and felt like I knew more about it. And then we did get more and more frustrated. So I would say by a year later, we were really, I was really starting to wonder if we shouldn't start thinking about bringing it in house. And that is a major change. I mean, if you, probably if you go back to that episode, episode three, when you guys, you know, interviewed me before, I would have told anybody, do not do property management for yourselves. And we can talk about why. And I still believe that's true for people in certain stages. But man, I started thinking like, maybe I'm wrong. And, you know, I'm talking to more and more guys that manage their own stuff and felt like we should maybe consider this. And then we ended up getting kind of a unique deal under contract, right around May. And actually closed on it in May. So we were under contract before that, but it was a unique situation. And I felt like actually God was kind of lining some pieces up, moving our business in the direction of managing for ourselves. And so we eventually decided to take the leap and do that. But I'll stop talking. No,
that was a good summary. A year and a half in the last 3 minutes. So that was good.
Yeah.
That was good.
How many times do people are like, I'll never do this. And then lo and behold, here you are. So,
yeah,
I mean, property management is literally its own business model.
For sure.
So it's not like you just were like, hey, we'll kind of like start this side thing. It's a full business. Like it's its own business. That's why people do it as a third party for other people make a business out of it.
Yep.
So then you guys actually did a few more acquisitions then after that hiatus of things not penciling. And added to your portfolio, and that kind of put you where now as a company?
Yeah. So, we did have ended up having a very busy summer after having 12 months. I kept saying, so we went 12 months and had zero transactions. And then we actually at one point had 5 transactions going on at the same time.
Yeah. So, selling and buying, right?
Selling and buying. Yeah. Because we purchased, we call it one property in May, but it's actually 2 properties. We run them together. Mm-hmm. And it was actually one syndication. So we did one syndication for 2 properties. So that was actually 2 transactions. And then we sold 2 deals. We sold 2 properties, but one was split into 2. So it, actually the same guy bought them, but he bought them separately. So it still was 2 separate transactions. They closed separately, like 2 different loans. And it was actually 2 different structures, all this stuff. So we actually, you know, kind of bought one and sold 2, but it was 5 transactions going on at once and they got drug out and closed different times. So yeah. So the rest of that summer, we bought a 48 unit and a 16 unit that we, you know, called North Dayton, and it's a 64 unit to us. We run them together. Mm-hmm. And then we sold a 47 unit and a 45 unit. Both of those are in Dayton as well. And then we end up buying the 96 with you guys. So it ended up being a very busy summer.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that 64 unit, which is a 48 and 16, again, that was the one that we decided to manage ourselves. So we did take it to the property manager. I had to sit down with the VP and the regional manager of the property management company that was managing all of our other stuff. And I said, hey, you know, getting ready to buy this, like, what do you guys think? And he told me, he goes, I think we're going to be really expensive on a property like that because, you know, it's harder to the economies of scale is a real thing. So it's hard. You know, if you have 150 units in one spot, you can hire one maintenance guy, one property manager, and they can run it really efficiently. And that property can very well support those 2 salaries.
Yep.
But you kind of still need one property manager and one maintenance guy to do 64 units. Mm-hmm. And so you can imagine that number of units doesn't support those salaries nearly as much as 150. So, that's kind of what they were saying. And so that property actually came with a guy that lived at the 48 unit that was managing it and had been managing it for a decade. It was actually the seller's brother.
Wow. Oh, wow. And
man, the more we dug in, guys, I was like, he's doing a really good job. And it's like, man, if they can do this, why can't we do this? Why can't we figure this out? So it felt like, again, I that's where you can kind of see where I felt like God was kind of putting some pieces in place and like maybe moving us toward that. And I thought, all right, let's just try it. I mean, worst case scenario, we don't do a very good job. And then we go find a property manager. I mean, there's dozens of them, if not 100 of them in Dayton. So if we crash and burn, we'll go get somebody else to manage it. And, you know, I mean, maybe we lost a little bit of money, but the property is going to be fine. Like, we're not going to do that bad. So we decided to try it, and it actually went really well.
So go ahead.
You got it.
Okay.
Do it.
All right. So, Let's kind of rewind. So you started out in your business, your real estate career, and you were doing small multis, you were managing themselves yourself. And then you started, you know, getting into the syndication realm. You bought some bigger deals, and that's when you outsourced your property management. So why don't we just talk about why outsource property management from the get-go for someone who's looking to scale their business? At what point does it make sense to hand it over to a management company?
Yeah, great question. So yeah, I think this is really good. I talk about this a lot. And actually, so I only managed a duplex. As soon as I got into the small multis, I went third party right away. Wow. So I managed the duplex, and then the next one we got. So all we did, we flipped the house and then we got a duplex, basically flipped out. Well, I did manage it myself for a little, for, I don't know, 3 or 4 months. And then we got a 16 unit and I put that on third party management. So
why did, pause right there. Cause there's a lot of people, we have clients, and you know, I would say you self-manage and you've got a couple of units, mm-hmm. you know, so what in your brain was like, I don't want to try and tackle this from the get-go. I'm just going to find somebody to manage this 16 unit.
Yeah. So because I had a pretty big vision right away, like I knew, I knew I wanted to go all in on this and buy as many units as I could. And like you said, Garrett, it is two completely different businesses. So I just felt like I want to build one business and that's it. And my business is buying and selling and operating as an asset manager, the real estate. That's a business of its own. So I just felt like that's the only business I want to run.
It was a focus thing.
Yeah. The focus thing. And you know, I mean, I definitely could have managed those myself and built that business. And I don't know, it'd be interesting to see how that would have turned out. But I really felt like at the time, and I guess I still believe it would have slowed down my, my asset management, buying like the private equity type business that I was running. I think it would have really slowed that down. And now it's not always bad to go slow. I have a lot of experience of like feeling like my wife is slowing us down and then looking back and being like, my gosh, it's so much better that we did it that way.
It was because one step back and two steps forward.
100%. Yeah. With her, we took so many fewer steps in it. So it was like aggravating me, but those steps ended up being so much bigger because they were so much more intentional. Deliberate, and she forced us to like think through it. So, it's amazing. And that's why God put us together as far as the business goes. But, I only want to do that one business and I'm not interested. I don't like that. Like managing the duplex, I didn't like it. My wife really didn't like it. Just felt like that stress, that burden that was there of like, okay, we're responsible for these people. As soon as we got the 16 unit and handed it off to another company, that felt so much better. It just felt like, okay, we can really scale. And, you know, they talk about like partnering, right? Like you can, if you find the right partners, and that's what that really felt like to me, because taking on a 16 unit, I mean, all we'd ever done was one flip and one duplex. And then we jumped to a 16 unit. It felt so overwhelming. But when I realized that this property management company who manages 1,000 units in Dayton, like a 16 unit for them is nothing.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's 1.6 of their portfolio, right? So for them, it's like, this is nothing. And that made me feel so good that they're, you know, I'm like, all right, what do we do on day one? Like that felt so overwhelming to me. Like on day one, when we take over, what do we do? And they're like, oh, well, we'll send somebody out. We'll post a note on everybody's door. And, you know, we'll let them know, here's the phone number. Here's how you pay rent. Here's how you let us know you have maintenance requests. And if a maintenance request come in, we have guys that'll do that. And then we have people that help them make their payment. I'm like, that's, you make it sound so easy. And they're gonna do
it. So that makes sense.
I immediately was a fan. And I would just say, guys, that's what it comes down to. Like, if you want to scale really fast, if you want to buy a lot of property and raise capital and do that and build that business, then I would personally let somebody else either build the business or they already have the business. I would let them have the business of the property management. And then eventually, you know, now we've gotten to the spot where we're like, okay, we have this business up and running. It's been running, you know, I guess, you know, since 2019 when we got, so we're, you know, we're 4 years in now. We still have a long way to go with that business, but that business is up and running. We could maybe go start another business. And that's, you know, that's when we decided.
I think one dynamic that, and maybe you weren't even thinking about this at the time, but I'm guarantee it would have happened if you would have gone the self-management route and your portfolio would have continued to kind of slowly build, you would have been put in a spot where people would have come to you and said, will you manage my stuff too? And it would have put you in a spot of saying, oh, do we, and it would have kind of diffused and diluted the vision that you had to go after the acquisition side of things.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So you found you, and I love how you reference the property management company as a partner of sorts. They're a member on your team.
Yes.
And oh, really, yeah. You were learning from them over the last, you know, probably what, 7 years on their dime. I mean, you were paying them, but it was their experience and you were kind of with them to learn, which has then set you up to be where you are today to bring some of the stuff back in house.
For sure. Yes.
So what happened? What precipitated you guys, going back on what you initially said, I'll never do property management, to then saying, we need to do this?
Yeah. Yeah, man. A couple of things. It's definitely been in a journey and I've thought through a lot of things. I mean, the first level is just, we were getting frustrated with our property management company. And
in what way?
I'll say that again.
In what way? Like what was happening?
Two things. One is, you know, and there's two ways to think about this argument, because my mentor actually kind of says the opposite. Like, people will say, no one cares about your properties like you do, right? Just like, no one's ever going to care about your kids the same way you do. And some people are like, it's the same way with property. That is true. My mentor would say, yeah, well, no one cares about your wife like you do. So are you going to do her brain surgery? Or are you going to go ahead and let a doctor, you know, a brain surgeon that doesn't care about your wife? And so that's my mentor, which he's forgotten more about real estate than I'll learn. But so he uses third-party management. His third-party, like, they manage like 30,000 units and he's got like 2,500 units that they manage. And he's very happy with it. So I agree with that. But what I kept finding was that our property management company just didn't seem to care that much about our property. Like, you know, they were doing a pretty good job, but there were just times where I'm like, man, I can just tell they're not focused on our property. And so we would kind of be the squeaky wheel for a little bit and give it. And they would come in and like fix the problem. I mean, you know, vacancy would go to 10%. And it's like, what's going on? Like, the properties in the area are not 10%. What's going on? Focus and some things happen. We have like a, you know, get more intense about our weekly meeting and start doing some stuff and get more involved. And then all of a sudden vacancies at 5% or 4%. It's like, why do you only focus when I, you know, when I'm the squeaky wheel and I, you know, get upset?
Is it because you were the small guy? You were the small fish?
Yeah. Definitely. We were the small fish, but it just kind of showed me like, man, so much of it, it's not rocket science. It's just focusing on the property. So I started going, we're always focused on our property, like always. So if we had it in house, like, and you know, we're not going to be a small fish anymore. We're going to be the only fish. We're only going to be focused on our property. So I started having that thought. And then another thing, is the more guys I talked to that manage their own property, I started realizing two things about that. And one was brand new to me. The one was that actually they kind of were both brand new. But what I realized with our property management company is that they are geared, and I think it's because their owners largely want them to do this, but they are geared to just push really hard. They want to push revenue as hard and as fast as they can, because that's ultimately how you increase the value of the property, especially when you're getting ready to sell. So they're just pushing rent. They do a great job of advertising. And they really shocked me, frankly, on the rent that they got at our properties. So that felt really great. Now, they're expensive. And not only, like, I'm not just talking about their fees, but like their advertising expenses, you know, for the property, their payroll, like, they just run the properties really expensively. But
so let me pause real quick, because I think there's two major styles of how a property management company would charge fees.
Yeah.
So in our experience, and this is probably going to apply to a portfolio of properties, smaller amount, it's kind of a flat percentage off the gross rent. And they don't pass on all those expenses to the owner. They kind of build that into their budget on the business side, right? So that's kind of basket number one. But what you're talking about is they essentially pass on all of the expense of the payroll of the on-site people, the advertising, the lease up stuff, and then they charge a smaller percentage off the top, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep. That's exactly right. Yeah. They'll charge anywhere from 3 to 5%, 3% on your bigger, like more class A properties, all the way up to 5% for like the smaller class C properties. Cause they, you know, they kind of a minimum that they want to make for their management, but yeah,
and because they know that they can pass the expense on, you're saying that they weren't as mindful of their advertising expense. Cause at the end of the day, it wasn't coming out of their pocket. It was coming out of yours.
Yep. Yep. Yeah. Versus what you're talking about, a company charge, you know, somewhere between 6 would be pretty low, but between 7 and 10%, mm-hmm. right? For just kind of that blanket. Then if they're spending a whole lot on advertising, that's coming out of their percentage, right? So right. Yes. Yeah. And that's one benefit of that. Now, the other side of that, guys, what I learned was because the first property management company we worked with, that's how they work. It was 8%, but then they charge the first month's rent. Mm-hmm. So I feel like that really got more to like 10 or 11% most of the time.
Right.
But then were you really the difference? So you think that's all it is, but the difference is their maintenance costs. That's where I feel like they don't control it.
That's true.
Like the maintenance costs.
It's marked up. It's a profit stream for them to send a guy out there.
Yes. Yes. So that's where I'm like, man, once we switched over to the bigger property management company that does it the other way, the maintenance costs are like almost nothing now, but you're covering that in the payroll. Right, but again, I feel like that's just more controlled because you have a guy on site. So, so that's how that works. So we started going, man, they run these expensive, like our expenses are just so much. So it's like, man, we feel like we have to push rent. And so it just felt like, man, we are running really hard on this hamster wheel, like maybe harder than we have to. Mm. And as I started talking to guys that manage their own stuff, I was realizing like, that's not how they're doing it. Their rent is lower and they're still more profitable because they're really controlling their expenses.
Right.
Because they don't need to make so much money. In some cases, like you could decide if I'm doing my own property management company, I really don't need to make any money off my property management company. I just need the property management company to do really well for the property. And so it's just a completely different mindset. And the other thing that it took a while for us to see with like kind of the culmination of all that I just explained is when you run a property really hard, like the property management company was, you have really high turnover.
Right.
Because you're pushing people so hard.
Yep. They stay for a year.
Yeah. They stay for a year, man. And then they're gone. And that gets really expensive.
It does.
And then you just have really high vacancy and high delinquency.
And it gives you the illusion. If you look at 12 months, it looks good, right? But you almost have to zoom out and look over like 2 to 3 years worth of operating expenses and income to see the turnover and what kind of effect that's having over time, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That could be a topic of its own is
yes.
Where do you go? Like, what's a good way to approach market rate rent, right? Because there's the guys that are going to go and always push rents up, always drive. And they're kind of pioneering new ground of what that type of asset, that type of unit can demand, which is great. We all look at that and we're like, man, I wish I could get that for my property. And then there's the guys that kind of hang back like 10%, maybe below 15% below what's considered market rate or really aggressive. And they're the people that have like this tenant's been here for 6 years. This tenant's been here for 8 years. This tenant's been here for 4 years. That's a big deal. Cause even if you want to turn over a property, you're probably looking at $1,000 to $2,500 to get it ready. You know, if somebody's been living in it, you know, moderately. So,
yes. Yeah. Yeah. And what it took me a while to realize, just like you said, Garrett, sometimes you do have to gather the data and then be able to zoom out. So, you know, the first 6 months working with them, it was like, I don't really know what to think about this. But after about a year, because we do heavy value add. So on the properties that we brought them in on, like the goal was to get people out to some degree, right? Like we wanted to renovate units. We had a big renovation budget. So we wanted them to push pretty hard. That was the plan. But man, after a year, I was like, all right, guys, I kept telling them, I'm like, I want to downshift. I want to shift down into second gear. I just kept downshift, guys, stop. Like stop pushing so hard. And it really, over the next 6 months, I was like, that's not in their vocabulary. This just isn't how they operate. I could not get them. I'm like, guys, I'm asking you to decrease rent. Like, would you not listen to an owner that is letting they were like, oh, I mean, so much pushback. So it's like that's not how they operate. Again,
it's like if you run a vehicle and you just are revving the RPMs to 5,000 RPMs, you can only do that so long before there's going to be some kind of consequence, you know, on the vehicle. And it's that whole golden goose thing. Like you as the operator are trying to monitor what can the market bear, what can the property bear? And you saw, hey, pro forma wise, we're at or above where we projected to be. Let's slow down. Let's ratchet it back so that we can stabilize things and not just beat this thing like beat a dead horse, you know? And they were just, let's rev it. Let's redline.
Yeah. So I really like the property management company, they're playing like the appreciation, the let's get the property ready to sell. Strategy or model. And the guys I was talking to, you know, they're more long-term hold. They, hey, let's just, and that's a cash flow model. So they were like, we don't have to push so hard. Let's just keep people in their units, low vacancy, low turnover expenses. Yeah, our rent's lower, but our expenses are much lower. And they're just cash flowing. I'm like, I kept trying to get the property manager. I'm like, that's what I want to do. I want to do that. And they just wouldn't do it. You know, they're playing this. Now, I mentioned we sold two properties. They were managing both of those. We sold those for a lot because of their strategy. And I'll just say this real quick. Again, this is like another one that's, this is a whole nother conversation. But it, when you go to sell a property, the main thing that is going to make you sell for a lot is the top line. It's your revenue.
Yeah.
So if you have high rent, that is the number one thing the buyer is looking at.
Because the buyers can always decrease their own expenses through their own
absolutely.
Systems.
They don't, they almost like, okay, whatever you're spending on utilities, okay, I can't change that. Taxes, can't change that. Insurance, mine's probably going to be the same. But your property management fee, the amount you're spending on advertising, all that. So the fact that our property management company was running all that so expensive, that doesn't matter to a buyer.
Yeah.
Right? Even your vacancy, honestly, doesn't matter that much. If you have 8% vacancy, it's like, that's not enough to be alarming. What the buyer is going to say is like, oh, they're not operating it very well. We'll operate better than that. We'll run it at the market standard, which is 5%. So all that, our property management company's strategy, it works really well when you're selling. And that's why I kept telling them on the other two, I'm like, we are not selling. We're not selling. We're not selling. Like downshift. And they just couldn't do it. But if you are selling, I'll just say, That is the right strategy.
Yeah, that's a good perspective.
Yeah.
So how does somebody vet a property? Like, let's say somebody's like, hey, I've been self-managing. I think I have enough scale, to pursue hiring a property management company. Just give us a couple ways to vet a property management company quickly to figure out if it's a good fit. And then we'll transition. How do you manage a property management company?
I'll be pretty simple with it, man. I think there's only one way to vet a property management company, and it's talking to people who have been working with them for at least a year. That's it. There's no way you can, I mean, yeah, you're going to want to sit down with them and know their fees, but like everybody's going to be pretty much the same. I mean, you want to know what software they're going to use. You know, you want to know what their reporting looks like. Does that all match what you're looking for? But I mean, you could probably find 10 companies that you know, will give you what, will say that they'll give you what you want, and their reporting, you know, will be that way. Man, none of that matters compared to talking with somebody. Like I've just shared a lot. Like I could tell you so much about the property management company that we worked with, and I still recommend them, by the way. I hope I haven't like let on that they're terrible. I would recommend them. I don't necessarily think that there's better in the city. That's not why we went to do it in ourselves. That's the other reasons that we talked about. We just think, you know, we're going to have more focus on our properties. Mm-hmm. Also, I didn't even get in this, but like it can be like, it does provide cash flow for our company. Mm-hmm. So that's important. But that's what I would do. If you talk to me, I'm going to tell you way more than, and I don't get anything from you using them. It doesn't help
me. Right.
In fact, I guess it'll kind of hurt me if I'm still using them and now you're using them, you're going to divert tension away from me. We're all, you know, they manage like 12,000 units, so it doesn't matter that much. But that's the only thing, man. You got to go to somebody that's been using them for a while.
Yep. And then, and we've talked pretty heavy on the property management side of things and the nuances of that, why that could make sense for somebody. And then you were leading us up to the point of you guys taking those in-house now. So give us just an overview of how that's gone so far and get into some of the reasons why you alluded to that A, it brings maybe some cash flow into your company.
Yeah.
How, why is that important? And then what's been, you know, the processes you guys have put in place?
Yeah, great question. Real quick, Gary, I didn't answer your other question. You asked about how do you manage a property management company?
Yeah, yeah.
Just real quick, get your KPIs down, your key performance indicators. You know, for us, like vacancy is huge. Right. And then when we do have vacancy, you have units that need to be turned. Like tracking that, how quickly is that happening? You know, where are we at with all that? We do track our average rent. Like, is that going up? And then of course we're looking at our expenses on a monthly basis. And then, so you have to track that. And then you have to talk to your property management company about it. So we had a standing weekly call. I would always do that. I would have a standing weekly call with the property manager, probably the regional too, if you can get them on the phone. Most of the time we could not. But you want to have that weekly call and you just go over those. Like, okay, here's the unit turns we talked about last week. Last week you said they'd be at this stage. Are they at this stage? So just real quick on that to answer that question.
High accountability. Yeah, inspect what you expect. And, you know, for you guys, I know you were probably a pain in the butt for them, but at the end of the day, you have investors in a lot of these deals. Right. And so that's actually a good, if that's true, you'd be like, hey, listen, I'm held accountable to somebody.
Yes.
Okay. Right. So the accountability that I'm providing here isn't because I don't think you're doing a good job, but it's because I, again, have to be accountable to somebody else as well. So maybe a way to kind of approach those conversations. But yeah, catch us up to, you know, how'd you guys make the jump and why?
Yeah. So when we decided to make the jump, again, it just started with that one property. You know, it's a 48 unit and a 16 unit. And there's a guy that lives at the 48 unit that was managing it. And so the biggest, honestly, two things were just so different. One is now we have employees. So that's a lot. Like that feels like a lot of a burden because, you know, you got to pay those people. You got to kind of train those people, hold them accountable, you know, talk to them a lot. You know, when they have personal issues, that those become your issues.
And you like that stuff, fortunately.
Yeah, I don't. I love people. Like that's the thing. Yeah. If I can just go out and talk to those people and have a I love having a relationship with them.
Yeah.
And as we've built the team and bring people, I love going and meeting them, interviewing people, bringing them,
managing them.
Yeah, the managing, not so much. And I have a partner for that now. So that's where you find your who, not how. How am I going to manage them? No. Who am I going to get to manage them? That's what I've done. And so I'm enjoying it so far. But with that, you know, when we started, it's now you've got it. Like we're hiring people. Are you going to like benefits? Are you going to do benefits? Like what's that look like? So we've been able to tackle all that with one online like payment system. You know, I don't know. Probably a lot of people have heard of like Paycor. This is similar to that. It's called Gusto. And we use that and it pays our people. And it also like you can get your benefits through there. So that's been a big help. But that was one felt like huge mountain to climb as far as, you know, being able to have our own employees. And then the other one is what's the software that you're going to use? So one property management company we used or we worked with used AppFolio. And then the other one we worked with used Yardi. Those are two of the more well-known ones. I talked to a bunch of guys that were managing their own units and it seemed like all of them were using AppFolio. So that's what we used. So that's been a huge learning curve. And this just goes back to what you said a long time ago, Garrett, that this was building a whole new business. I mean, this was a whole new business. And so bringing on that software and for our whole team to learn how to use that. Cause I guess two things now, like with that software, like now we're the ones talking to the residents. We're the ones getting them to pay and taking their maintenance requests. So that's just, it's all new. Our property management company was doing that. And then the other thing that's huge is the accounting. You know, we always kept our own spreadsheets, but it was the property management company that was counting the dollars and cents. And then they would send it to us. And then we would like dig into it and put it into our own spreadsheets so we could keep our own T12, our trailing 12 months and our P&Ls and like do all that. But now, man, we're on the front end of all that. So the resident facing stuff and the accounting just so big and doing that all within AppFolio was a big learning curve.
Wow. Wow. So you have one more property that you're going to bring in house and then everything will be under one roof.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. That's crazy. Yep.
That's awesome. We're going to jump into our smaller pockets. So, you probably remember this from last time, but this is not a highlight reel. So go ahead and tell us something that maybe, and let's maybe keep it property management, something over the course of you transitioning everything, something that went wrong, what happened, how did you fix it? What did you learn from it?
As far as property management, a lot. Yeah, there's been a lot of those.
you start breaking down and crying.
Just so many times, like, it's just one of those things, like, you don't know what you don't know. I mean, at some point, you have to jump. And I'm good with that. So that's, and I guess that's why I'm the one kind of the CEO role, like, to make that decision, because I'm good with going that route of, like, yeah, I don't know, but we just got to do it and then we'll figure it out. So there's been a ton of stuff that like, oh, wow, didn't know that. I think what's the thing that's real interesting is, and I was talking to you guys about like just some of the drama we've had between some of our people and having to deal with that. I mean, before, you know, when you're an asset manager, it's all really just numbers. Like you're just managing numbers and then you're managing the property manager who manages the people and all the people drama. And as soon as you build a business of property management, now you're dealing with all the people drama. So, I wouldn't say that's like gone wrong. It's just people have stuff. And you know, for us before, like when somebody would have something going on and they need to take a day off, like the property management company had to figure that out, and they have other people, and you know, they had that scale, so they had other people that would just fill in, and now we don't. So now we'll fill in, and we'll, you know, move stuff around. So, or like,
you don't have to use any names, but describe one of those dynamics that's been drama related.
Yeah, I'll just talk about the one that I was telling you guys about that we had. You know, we have a full-time maintenance guy at our property, and but we have a bunch of units that need turn. So he can't turn them all because his main job is to do maintenance requests. And then with extra time, he'll turn units. But we had too many, so we brought on a contractor to turn all those units. And our maintenance guy, you know, we did tell him, like, hey, you're our eyes and ears. So if you, you know, see something not going well.
It's like when you go to one of your kids, hey, pal, you're the man of the house when I'm gone. Yeah. Make sure that you are watching out for things. And he took that. Literally, he took it a little too far.
Yes, yes. And again, this is just where people, like, I didn't know him that well, and we're learning more now about his personality that he likes to point out, you know, other people's mistakes. Kind of like he likes things done a certain way. He thinks he knows the right way, and he likes to tell other people when they don't do it his way, and that kind of thing. So he caused a good bit of drama between him and the contract company. And you know, I just kept having to reiterate, like, when I said you're our eyes and ears, like, you only bring that to me. Like, you, whatever you see, like, you just come to me with it. You don't go to them. Like, that's my job to go to them. You know, that's how this works. You work for me. So you come to me. You don't work for them. You don't work with them. Change They're not command. Working for you. They're working for us, the owner. So you need to just come to us. And so that's just one of those issues that
it was a good time to set expectations moving forward, you know?
Yep. So. Yep. Yep. Right.
That's good. That's good. All right, man. We're going to go into what we call our little nugget. So we've talked a lot about property management, but I'm going to zoom out a little bit. In the last year and a half, as you guys have gone to the next level in your business, what's been a practical takeaway that you could impart to our listeners?
Yeah. So for me, I've really tried to shift my mindset this whole year. And I did not know at the beginning of the year that we were going to do property management. But like I said, my wife and I always do this, you know, week and we do a 5-day fast or a weekend, and then we do a week fast or whatever. And she strongly encourages me. And so I do it every year to come up with a word, for the year. And she does too. And we, you know, so again, it's something else we pray about during that fasting time. And so mine for this year was lead, and it was, you know, business related, like, okay, God, you know, help me to lead this company well and lead people well. But that has evolved into so much more as, you know, now with just the property management company, we now have 7 employees at our 4 different properties. And again, at the beginning of the year, I had no idea I would be leading those 7 people. But from the beginning of the year, I've really tried to shift my mindset to thinking like a CEO and not just a solopreneur or an entrepreneur or an investor, because that's how I've been thinking since, you know, really 2018, when we bought the duplex, that like my job is just to find deals and then find investors and put that together and then manage a property management company, like just kind of a one man solopreneur, entrepreneur. And like there's other people helping, but thing like that. So now this year, and again, I think God saw this ahead of time, obviously, but that now I'm really just sitting in the CEO role and managing a company that's doing all this stuff.
Yeah, right.
And so, yeah, that's been a total mindset shift. And that's the books I've been reading are these like Good to Great books by Jim Collins. Yep. You know, yep. Simon Sinek has a good book on stuff like that. And just reading some of those and trying to think more like a CEO.
That's great. You're kind of, the business is necessitating that you grow and evolve into a different leader. And so you're trying to do that. Be aware of that. Yep. Going back, you said you pick a word for the year. Does your wife ever give you your word?
No, she does not.
She's like, Kearley, this is your word, servant, chores, responsibility.
Right. I'm sure she has things in mind, but she doesn't share them. But it was funny. This was really neat. You know, and for us, as you can tell, like our faith's important to us. And so she was praying about it too. And she said, you know, have you thought about your word? And I said, well, the word that's coming to mind right now is lead. And she's like, that is literally the word that was coming to mind for me, for you. Like, that's if you wanted to, you know, let me say it, but that was really neat that we're, you know, kind of both heard that from the Lord.
Before we close, I want to comment on the fasting thing. You know, a lot of people, if they haven't done fasting from a faith perspective, have done it maybe for health reasons. And that's been definitely more prominent, of like, hey, you know, here's the health benefits of it. But, but I wanted to highlight that there is another component to that, which is a spiritual component of fasting. And, Seth and I have both done that individually in our own lives. And, you know, it's cool to hear you do that as well. So I would just encourage you, if you're listening, you know, try to do a fast, not just for health reasons, but for your spiritual health as well.
That's a big thing. Yeah, I second that. Yes. But, it's a really neat experience. And you know, Jesus commands us to do it. You know, he says to do it. He did it. His followers did it. So there's something to it.
It's not a farce.
So, hey, in closing, man, how can people follow your guys' success? I know we've answered this once before. If it's the same thing, that's great. But a lot's changed in your business. So it would definitely warrant people checking out Threefold, the podcast. Give us kind of the best ways for that.
Yeah, the best way is to jump on our website, which is our name, Threefold, T-H-R-E-E, and then Fold, F-O-L-D, like your folding piece of paper, and then R-E-I is in realestateinvesting.com. So it's the same website. That's the one I gave last time, but there's a lot more there now. We have a lot of educational videos. We have a free ebook. Yeah, you can get to our podcast there. I don't do a podcast every week anymore like you guys do, but we still, you know, do it every once in a while to update. And then there's, of course, you know, I don't know, 170 old ones if you want to listen to them. And they're not that old. I didn't stop that long ago, but a lot there at the website. And then you could sign up for our, you know, to be part of our email list where we send out a monthly newsletter, keeping everybody up to date on all that we've got going on. You can do that through our website. And then I'm pretty active on LinkedIn and Facebook as well. Mm-hmm. If you want to just look up my name there.
Sign up for their newsletter. I get your newsletter and it's awesome. You do a great job of incorporating just your life as a person.
No, thanks.
Through the business perspective. So it's really organic and there's some really good stuff that you share. You make it feel very natural that way. So, dude, thanks for coming on again and giving us an update and then breaking down this whole topic of should I self-manage or hire it out? So great stuff today. Appreciate it.
Yeah. Always love being on. Thanks for having me, guys.
As always, excited that you joined us on another episode of the Reinvest Podcast. If this episode added to your tool belt or left you feeling inspired, go ahead and share it with a friend. Stay tuned every Tuesday for new episodes. And if you want to get in touch with us, go to our LinkedIn or Facebook profiles and shoot us a message. Move farther, reach higher, and grow deeper. See you next time.